How's everybody doing?
Good.
Great. You're probably about as nervous as I am. Because if any of you know me, never expect anything. Because I'll probably give you something way random. Mom. I won't use your middle name. All right. It's a good day. So, first of all, I'm Frankie, if anybody doesn't know me. I'm Pastor Frank's son, but do not hold anything I say against him. What? She claims me on occasion. When I do something positive, she'll be like, hey, that's my boy. Most of the time, she's like, Frank, get your son. All right. That was my little comedy spiel. All right, so I came to Val a month and a half ago or something like that, 2 months ago, and I told him, hey, I have this sermon that I have to preach. I just have to do it. I don't know why. And, this isn't that sermon. To be totally honest with you, it is not that sermon at all. I was so pumped. I was going to do this sermon on Timothy and about how, because we've been doing on Tuesday nights this Bible study with Kelly and I where Val's just leading us in discipleship. And I was like, oh, I'm going to do this thing where I'm gonna give you the guys the Great Commission. I'm going to be like, I got to take everything out of my pockets or I'm going to play with it. All right, so, yeah, we've been doing this discipleship program. And we've been sitting there and we've been learning about God and we've been just... It's crazy how fast the weeks go by. Everything. We're already in week 10? This will be week 10. And it's been 2.5 months already. It's just insane. And so I had this big idea how I was going to preach to you guys. And I was going to be like, youth, you need to stand up. Youth, don't let people look down on you because of your age. And I started to write that sermon. And that's about as far as I got. And recently I just went back to college and everything like that, trying to do something positive. And I was sitting there and I was just like, wow, it's like... I was sitting in History of New Testament, and a kid had his iPod on, and I was like, what are you listening to? And he's like, Blink 182. And I was like, they have a song called What's My Age Again? And I was like, that's my theme song. I am that ADD kid that they talk about. And so I sat down, and I just like went home that night, and I was like, God, what should I preach on? Because I was struggling. It was about a week ago, and I had no idea what I was going to write. And I was not going to, last time I preached, I came up here and sat down, and I had no clue what I was talking about. And everything, so I actually have notes this time, so those aren't my notes, but these are my notes, so we're going to try this, and we're going to jump in right now. So, first of all, Blink 182, favorite band of all time for me. I love them. They are probably the most random, I don't even know how to describe them. Take, like, everything you did in high school and put it to music. just the most random things you can think of, that's Blink 182. So I did some research on them, and I found out that they started back in 1992 in California, in Los Angeles. And I was looking at them, and this is how the sermon came together, because Blink 182 had been around for about 6 years in 1998. In the middle of their tour, they had a drummer named Scott Rayner who left them. Just in the middle of the tour one day in Ohio, he looked at him and said, you know what, I have kids, I have family, I'm not going to do you justice here. Because his mind was not in the game, so he left. He left the other two members, Tom DeLonge and Mark Hoppus, just high and dry, sitting in the middle of Ohio, waiting in front of a crowd. Now this is where we start getting preachy. In comes Travis Barker, a relatively unheard of drummer from Los Angeles, covered in tattoos and piercings. Kind of like me. Just a lot more tattoos. He joins on the tour to fill in, but before Travis, Blink 182 was barely heard of. They had achieved minor success with their CD, Dude Ranch, but they had not hit SoundScan. They had not, piqued the interest of any labels. Travis came in. First of all, the one thing you have to know about Travis is he cannot read music. He can't read music. He plays everything by ear. Like my mom, I sat her down and I showed her a video of Travis Barker playing drums where he comes in, he listened to something, and he tapped out the entire drum line for it. So now he comes into Blink 182 and they just mature, they just blossom. It's just insane. I dare you to go home and just look at their previous music and then, well, actually don't do it, it's not Christian. But You didn't hear it here, just if you go look at it. Now the man, like Travis Barker, he is an insane drummer. He's sought after by every record label from Geffen to Arista. I actually had the privilege of meeting this man while I was down in L.A. 2 years ago while he was in the Geffen record building. Well, okay. I went, oh, my God, you're Travis Barker. And he went, hi, how are you doing? I'm not sure if that counts as meeting him. I gawked at him. And, you know, Travis, his drum skills are just insane. He's what bred the pop punk genre. Before that, you either had alternative rock or you had, I don't want to say, like you had the top 40, the Britney Spears kind of music. And Travis came in, he was able to bridge those genres and blend them together. His drumming on tracks such as like What's My Age Again, All the Small Things, First Date, and Forever are what made the pop punk genre. Without his thumping kicks and ferocious rolls, Blink-182 would have stayed mediocre. They would have done okay numbers, I'm sure. They did it before without him. But with Travis, that's when they achieve relative success. But because of Travis and his rhythm, Blink-182 is carried to the next level. Rhythm is essential both musically and spiritually. Rhythm, defined in the dictionary, is defined as a basic unit in a piece of music. It's the backbone to the melody. Rhythm's what gives us the beat. It gives us the timing, it separates the verses from the choruses and the bridge, and essentially lets us see how the different components come together. Now, Marv can attest to this. Drummers, kick the rhythm. You guys, without it, it'd just be a synchronized racket of different things coming together and just kind of be like my sermon. No, I'm playing. So this is, I'm going to talk about, just imagine the whole rhythm thing. Keep that in the back of your head. Think about a worship music on Sunday. Imagine if you put someone who's rhythmically challenged, such as myself, on those beautiful drums and trusted me to provide the beat for you. Yeah, don't even think. I am 100% sure that we would watch the audience dip down to either that of the tone deaf or the people who bust doesn't come for another 20 minutes. I'm being honest. I'm not consistent with the drums. I cannot keep a consistent beat. Occasionally I may pick the beat up, but it will be impossible for me to steady the beat. Now think about your spiritual life. Who's the drummer to your life song? Is it the media? Your parents? Is it friends? Is it drugs? Is it sex? Is it gangs? Is it cars? Is it money? What is it? Is it God? Up until lately, I've struggled with this question. I have been consistently just out there trying to make my own beat, coming to church and going through the motions and being like, oh, praise God, and I will toss him the sticks on Sunday, but right after I walk out those doors, I'm asking him for him back because I'm trying to control my beat. You know, I was letting everything get in the way. I would not relinquish my sticks for anything. I kept failing to keep a rhythm, and still I would not give in, even though I could hear the perfect cadence of God calling me by name. How many times in life do we do this? Today we may even know God and accepted him, but we cannot... That was loud. But we cannot let him have control. I was in this very situation, and that's where we're going to listen to this song real quick. Let the drummer kick, the drummer kick die. Let the drummer kick, let the drummer kick die. Let the drummer kick, let the drummer kick die. Let the drummer kick, let the drummer kick die. Let the drummer kick, let the drummer kick die. Let the drummer kick, let the drummer kick die. Let the drummer kick, let the drummer kick die. What keeps you dominant? First of all, I got to tell you, that's my favorite song in the entire world. It's by Citizen Cope. It's called Let the Drummer Kick. Am I on? Okay, I'm on. All right. I was listening to that song one day. We were hanging out. It was Joe, John, David, and I were hanging out. And it was about 4:30 in the morning, and I put that song on. And I found that video. I found a bad version of that video. And I was listening to it, and that's when the sermon started to come together in my head. I was like, they say in the song, let the drummer kick that. And they have all these different things that come in your way, incarceration, equations, you know, non-inclusion, substitutions, all these things that we let get in the way of our relationship with God, or that we try to substitute as a relationship for God. And like it says, you don't even have to wait. Just let the drummer kick that. So I was listening to this song, and I kind of broke it down a little bit, and I found that I even looked at the sheet music for this song. It is the simplest song ever. It's the same steady beat followed by the same words and the same melody. There is a second verse that just repeats everything. The third verse repeats everything. It's just trying to drill this into your head. You know, it's the same melody. It's the simplest song, but the most touching. I was sitting there and I started thinking about that song, and in that sense, complexity dilutes meaning. Think about Jesus. Is his story complex or that of a simple, unfailing love? Think about it. When you say something simple, it's usually good, but complex carries a negative connotation. What would you rather have in a relationship? Would you rather have the simple, unfailing love, or would you have, as Facebook would like to put it, as a relationship status is complicated? You know? Yeah, that's my little plug. Should be getting a check. See, the funny thing about this song is it comes from my favorite movie. I've seen this movie 1,000,004 times. It's called Accepted. I'm not sure how many of you guys are familiar with it. It's about these bunch of quote-unquote loser kids that don't get accepted into college, and they decide that they're going to go out and start their own college. And there's a scene in this movie where everything falls apart, where the guy, they call him B, his name's Barnesby. He fakes this. He has thousands of kids going to this college, and all they do all day is sit by the pool, sip coladas, shoot baskets, and jump into the pool on skateboards. And I was sitting there, and I was sitting there, and I've watched that movie 1,000,000 times, and I've heard it in the background, but never paid attention to it. And, you know, I started thinking about, like, how many times does this happen in our life with Christ? That we're so familiar with emotions, we're so familiar with the movie that we're seeing with our life, that we don't pay attention to the words and we don't pay attention to the melody that's in the background. See, that's where I came to the conclusion that our Heavenly Father is the drummer to our life song. He creates our rhythm, and with him together we make the melody. I was sitting there, and today God put this on my heart that God wants so bad to be in your band. He wants to be the Travis to your Blink-182. If you already have God in your band, then it's time to do a review right now. Is he the backbone to your melody, or is he simply just the drummer that sits in the shadows and provides the beat when you need it? And I just lost my spot. There we go. So, see, it's like Travis, it's like Scott Rainer with Blink-182. They achieve relative minor success, and then Travis came in, and I'm not calling Travis God, but Travis came into Blink-182, and he's what his beat and his steady rhythm is what took them to the next level. You know, you can achieve relative success without God, but in the end, it was him, it is him, and without him, it means nothing. In Jeremiah 29:11, it says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to give you a hope and a future." God can take you from that garage band to that multi-platinum selling artist overnight. God can transform you and give you the renewing rhythm. I was talking with a man out on the street a couple weeks ago, and he told me that I can't come to church yet. And I said, "Why can't you come to church yet?" He said, "I still have to do a review, and I have to collect all my sins and my baggage before I come in there." You know, and I was sitting there, and I was just like, so many people are confused on how they come to the drummer. You don't go to music lessons as a concert level musician. You come in there as a novice, and you let them teach you and mold you. Lecrae says it best in the song. He says, "I came to church smelling like smoke." You know, he says that don't wait to come to God. It's the same, like I said, it's the same concept with us. He does not call us. He did not wake me up a couple weeks ago and say, "Frankie, this is what I want you to put on. This is what I'm going to put on your heart." And he didn't expect me to come in here today wearing wingtips. Sorry, Dad. Like, he didn't call me to come in here being this wingtip polished preaching evangelist, because my God is not solely a God for the rich and the tidy. My God is a God of the poor and the broken. My God is a God of the nations. My God is the same God that called Saul, who persecuted Christians on the road to Damascus, to be his messenger. My God is the same God who told the thief that we celebrated last week, today you will be with me in paradise. Because my God is the beginning and the end. My God is Emmanuel. That means the Lord with us. My God is the same God who said the poor in the flesh will be rich in the spirit. Because my God is, and my God wants to be your God today. My God is the perfect musician. My God is what put the beat to your life and is waiting to make the melody with you. In Genesis, it says the beginning God. God made your life song personally for you. He took time to craft every note, every octave, and every nuance of that beautiful composition. He wrote the sheet music to your forever. God is the maestro to your life. He is sitting on that stage waiting for you. The God of Jacob is extending his hand right now because he has something so much better than any record deal, so much better than anything that the world can give you. He has, this is going to be the corniest thing I ever say, an eternal jam session waiting for you in heaven. And I promise that God will amaze you. He will take you to extraordinary places. He will be your Travis, because it says in Deuteronomy 3:24, O sovereign Lord, you have begun to show your servant your greatness and strong hand. For what God is there in heaven or on earth who can do the deeds and mighty works that you do? Unlike Scott Rayner, this drummer will never leave you stranded. He will never leave you high and dry. For the Lord your God is a merciful God. He will not abandon you or destroy you or forget the covenant with your forefathers, which he confirmed by oath. That's Deuteronomy 4:31. Like Travis came into Blink-182 and molded them into the multi-platinum artists that they are today, God will take you to extraordinary places with him. For who is God besides the Lord? Well, hold on. This is 2 Samuel 22:32 through 34. For who is God besides the Lord, and who is the rock except our God? It is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to stand on the heights. Just like Travis with Blink-182, it was not a fluke. God brought them together so that they could reach someone. Because our God's not a fluke, a mishap. He cannot be explained by an equation except for that of his son, Jesus Christ. His love for us is the simplest, rawest, most encompassing love ever expressed. Our God is a jealous God. It says in Deuteronomy 4:24, for the Lord your God is a consuming fire, a jealous God. God wants you more than anything, and more than anything, he wants you to want him. Our God's not a God that hides in the shadow. He's not a drummer that sits on the stage and hides behind a beat. Our God is involved and intertwined in every detail of our existence. Our relationship with God should be one of that acknowledges him in all of our actions. Don't be the Scott Rayner. Don't be the spotlight-hogging, wannabe rock star, drive-through Christian. Park in God's love and take in the view and toss in your sticks. Trust him to divide your beat. It's an unfailing, perfect, harmonious concoction of love and forgiveness. I dare you to realize what's possible with God. Imagine him in your band and see the plans he has for you. And like the song said today, if anything is standing in between you and your God today, if there's anything that you may be holding on to, that baggage, that luggage, whatever it may be, like they said, you don't have to wait. Let the drummer kick that. Realize he's the drummer to your life song, and it's time to let him kick whatever may be in your way. It's time to toss him the sticks and together make the melody with him. You may be lost in the rhythm of the world. You may be struggling right now thinking that you can provide your own beat. I hate to say this, I'm not one who usually says quit trying, but you need to quit trying and realize who's in control. You need to put down your sticks and acknowledge you don't know as much as you think. In Proverbs, that was not like anything of importance, that was just me trying to buy time to be, where did I go on the page? It says in Proverbs 3:5-6, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. I'm going to put that in today's context. Don't trust the worldly beat. It's time to let the drummer kick that.